Lord, your word is living and active. You say it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to pierce the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. But I'm asking today, Lord, for that place where soul and spirit meet, where we encounter you, you will just let your word take root and grow. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Thought I had all these places marked, but I didn't. Let's read a couple of scriptures until we get to the one. It's out of Philippians. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to perfection until the day of Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed in my not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure, for his will and for his good pleasure. Okay, I'm going to jump over. It's reading today in Hebrews. Going a little too far. Always helpful to have little markers in the Bible, isn't it? I really felt like the Lord wanted me to go read Hebrews 11, which is awesome. I love when he tells me to read there. There's always something new he's showing me. And it's the chapter of faith, of course, you know, where faith is starts out with faith. There's substance and evidence. You know, we've talked about that. Faith has meat to it, right? Something you can sink your teeth into it. It's not just, well, we'll see. I remember a guy one time, and man, he used to come to communion. Probably been 10 years since he's been here or more. Maybe not that long. He got so many words from the Lord in a real trying time in his life. And his response was always, well, we'll see. You know, we'll see him about. Buddy, you're not going to see if you keep saying we'll see, because that's not how you respond to his promises, right? So, and so many people here in Hebrews chapter 11, we talked about Abraham some yesterday or one day, but this verse just caught my mind. Because I think it's what the Lord's really trying to get in me, get in us here. Again, everything that comes to us, we had a Bible study one night, I talked about, just read several scriptures. Everything we get in the Christian life comes to us by way of revelation, not just information, right? Revelation, when it's pulled back and we can see with the eyes of our heart. It's just... And we're in a culture that's taught us that we need more information. Okay, you got an anointing in your life. Let's send this guy out to seminary where he can get a ton of information, right? Sadly, I'm not against him because I have a seminary degree. Sadly, I've seen it do more harm than good. They go off to these and they come back, you know, liberal thing. Just, well, met with a girl early this week, and her stepson went off to one. He was fired up for the Lord, and he came back a total liberal when it came to God. I mean, just nonsense, you know, just like believing all kinds of things. I thought, oh, man, that was just so sad. Because the best thing to do is when people come to the Lord, they get saved, is to get them plugged into Jesus, right? Get at his feet, learn who he is, and you stay there. I would rather have somebody that knows him and has what I call a DB degree, a dirty Bible degree, where they've read it so much and underlined it so much, right, than somebody trying to tell them that. And I had a professor one time to try to tell us that the Red Sea really didn't part. It just was a real shallow place where they could walk across, right? And we just shook our head. Didn't do any good to argue with him, the professor, right? But made me feel sorry for him, because that's kind of his view of God, you know. Pray for him. Yes, His name is Dr. Barry. I don't know his first name, but his Dr. Barry. We pray for him that he'll have a massive encounter. This is talking about Sarah. And that was Wednesday. I love this verse. You know, where you know, we talked about Abraham and hope against hope, how he finally entered into hope. Took him 25 years to get there, but he had walked beside it the whole time. And when he entered in, and the revelation he got from Romans chapter 4 was that what God said God would do. But this speaks, this gives us a little insight into Sarah. In Hebrews 11, it says this, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability or power for the or power from him, received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And that idea of receiving the ability to conceive the word given to you. Not just that he gives you the word, but he gives you the ability to receive and conceive where that word grows. He does it, right? All Sarah had to do was believe the word, and she said, okay, God, you got to do it. You got to do it through me. And I receive your ability to accomplish this. You know, faith looks like that a lot, doesn't it? And we talked about that. One of our other many definitions of grace was affection, acceptance, activity, and ability of God in me, right? Well, Paul said it wasn't me, but it was grace in me that did these things. So part of that is what I'm kind of learning and asking God to give me more revelation of is that, how that works, you know, receiving his ability. Really taught me a lot about that when this past year going through school, waking up every morning with a headache and knowing that you've got to go deal with 7th and 8th graders at 8 o'clock in the morning. Had a lot of revelation in that. Yeah, Bracken knows. He's been in there with them. And what the Lord started doing, it was a real cool time in my life. I would just see quarters everywhere, you know. And the Lord would always speak to me because 5 is the number of grace, right? So a quarter is multiple grace, grace upon grace, that I needed grace upon grace. And I prayed this little prayer every single day. Lord, I receive your ability. I receive your grace, your ability to do this today. I just receive your ability. And then I, by faith, am going to step out there trusting that you're going to do what you said you would do. You would even give me the ability. But this, but I think it even goes even deeper. This is a scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I love this. Faithful is he who calls you, who will also bring it to pass. Or in one translation, faithful is he who calls you, who will do it. Faithful is he who calls you. He's going to be faithful, and he will do it. So you think about that, and I'll read some scripture here in a minute in 2 Peter. About somehow we think that God gives us the promise, and then we're going to try to walk it out or make it happen. He not only gives you the promise, but he gives you the ability to walk it out, to make it conceive, for it to grow. He gives you the word, and he does it through you, right? Paul said, for me to live, he said, for me to live is Christ. He didn't say, I live for Christ. For me to live, it is Christ. So he's just doing it. So when the Lord gives you, speaks a word to you, I say, Lord, thank you for that word. Now I receive the ability, your ability, to do and to believe and to do this word through me. 2 Peter is really it's my favorite. 2 Peter chapter 1 is this great, great scripture. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing that his divine power, his divine ability, has granted to you and to us every single thing that pertains to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So he has already given me and you everything that pertains to life and everything that pertains to godliness. through the true knowledge or through the revelation of who Jesus is in you, right? Because once you get that, like, thank you, God, for giving me everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's one, right? Two, since you've given me everything that pertains to life and godliness, now, God, you're going to do it through me. You're going to, not only am I going to receive, but you're going to give me the ability to not just to receive, but to conceive that word and for it to grow. He says, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you would become partakers of his divine nature. Again, that's just so powerful. For by these he has granted to us his precious, his magnificent promises, so by them you would become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And it goes on, for this reason, apply diligence, moral excellence, and all these things, just on and on. And says this, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of who he is. So, again, I know you've heard this tons here, if you've been going to church here, but we really do have everything pertaining to life and God. We already have it. God doesn't add a thing to it, does he? We hear that all the time, the finished work of the cross. But I want something to maybe click, like it's kind of doing in me now. I'm kind of getting a little bit of, it's like a dim bulb, but getting a little bit of revelation of faithful is he who called you, who will also do it. Sarah considered him faithful, and she received the ability to conceive. Right? It's not just knowing it. It's learning how to receive that it's God who is at work in me, that's taken his very word, and he not only gives me the word, but he performs it through me. That's what faith looks like. And when you came in, you exercised faith and didn't even realize it when you sat down on that pew, right? Did anyone check the pew and look under it and see if it was broken, or you just totally trusted that pew was going to hold you up, right? And you just rested in that. And that's what faith looks like. It's the resting in another, resting in his ability to do things he's spoken to you. So everybody in here, if you've gone to this church, you've had 4,000 words, right? And they're sitting there, and they're still there, right? So if you hadn't done step number two, do step number two. Now receive his ability to conceive that word. Receive his ability to walk that word out in you, just like Sarah. Now Sarah laughed, but then she laughed the laughter of faith. The laughter of faith is, God, you said it and you are doing it. And you just have my yes and amen to it, because it's substance, something to sink into, right? Amen. So I just have this feeling that for a lot of us, the Lord's going to be really giving just a lot of revelation of who he is. I turn right to this place in Acts today. I opened up my Bible. I like to open up the Bible and it's right there. You ever do that? It was out of Acts 22, and it says, and he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one, to hear an utterance from his mouth. So God has appointed that I would know his will and to see, to have a revelation, unveiling of Jesus. That's his will. That's his will for all of you. And to hear the utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and what you have heard. Amen. That's a great life goal, right? Amen.